Blog Talk Radio.
And the big one, it's playing time!
Good evening to our listening audience. Today is, guess what, the first of the month, 1st of November. We are so glad to be here. We're so glad to start our lesson off on the first day of the month of 2015. Again, we're almost at to the end of the year. We must praise the Lord. Let's please bow our head in prayer. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you with bowed heads and humble hearts, thanking you for all the things that you have done for us, thanking you for being God. We thank you for being the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you for being the beginning and the end, and we just thank you, Father God. We come before you asking that you continue to bless us, bless this nation, bless the righteous, bless the people who are trying to stand up for righteousness. Father God, we come before you asking that you lead, guide, and direct us as we deliver this Sunday school lesson on this afternoon. And we pray that somebody's soul that is hungry for the word will be fed. Someone that is thirsty for the word will receive a drink. Father God, we ask that you help us to say the right thing as we deliver the teachings of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we deliver the teachings of your master plan, and which your master plan includes the Old and the New Testament. Father God, we ask that you continue. As we pray for the sick and the shut in everywhere, we pray for the prisoners, we pray for the motherless, we pray for the fatherless, we pray for the widows, we pray for the faithfulless, we pray that they get faith to believe as we believe. Father, we pray for the non-believers, that they believe. Father, we ask this prayer in your name. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. And again, good evening, listening audience. We're talking to you on Blog Talk, live on Blog Talk Radio, live from Michigan. And this afternoon, we are scheduled to talk about two aspects of the Bible study. The first aspect of the Bible study, we are going to be speaking to you from is the one that you probably reviewed in your Sunday school lesson this morning. God rescues Peter, which is found in Acts the 12th chapter, the 1st through the 24th verse. And we will also speak to you from Genesis, the 25th chapter, and we will be talking about Abraham's other wife and sons. So please stay tuned in. Before we go in our lesson, we ask that Minister Lewis give us a brief commentary. How you doing, Minister?
Oh, I'm doing good today. Glad that we were able to do our radio program. It does so much just for us, but we are just hanging with it because we do see a light. You know, and we just welcome those who are on the same journey. That, you know, that God is going to make this right. And I guess that's about, I just wish it was a way that people could learn, you know, not let experience be our best teacher. After so many thousands and thousands of years, experience just should not still be the best teacher. You know, how, you know, man needs to get to the point of knowing, in other words, not to go too far with negative stuff that really don't do anyone any good. And that's basically, you know, well, Melissa, that's where we are today. We're just traveling down that particular type of highway. I do see, you know, Christians trying to get some permanent identity, but it shouldn't be too hard, as hard as they're making it sound about the Son of God. I just find that unbelievable. But we can move right along, Melissa.
Okay, we're going to briefly summarize the lesson. As I tell people, I don't try to go and read the lesson verbatimly, one by one. The title of the lesson, as I said, was God Rescued Peter. It is found in Acts, the 12th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. And what we are going to talk about is, I know you probably have already reviewed it in Sunday school. We were supposed to be here earlier, but better late than never. So what this lesson basically was talking about was Peter, remember, is in prison now for a third time awaiting trial because he is being persecuted, and he's being persecuted by King Herod. King Herod persecuted them because they belonged to the church. Don't that sound familiar? In this day and time, you wouldn't think after all these years the same thing is going on. You know, when we used to read the Bible, I used to read the Bible like, oh my God, look at what happened then. But I never did nobody inform me that I would actually be living through this persecution, because I know that we are being persecuted because of our beliefs. Concerning PC, a lot of people want to tote the Bible, but they don't want to live by the Bible, and they get mad when people actually going by the Bible, because that's a threat to what they feel like is their life. But if you don't have God, how do you think you have a life? If a person don't have God, how do they have a life? Because at some point you're going to need God. I don't care what you have. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what title you have. I don't care. You're going to have to get on your knees just like everybody else get on their knees. And I ain't talking about getting on your knees in the way you think. I'm talking about getting on your knees to the Lord of the world. And in this particular lesson, as I was saying, he was arrested for the third time. And remember, he was awaiting trial. And he was getting ready to be put to death, Minister, with the sword and audience. And this happened during the Festival of Unleavened Bread. After they arrested him, you know, they put him in prison, handing him over. And he was guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. You understand what that is? That means he was guarded. One man was guarded with 16 soldiers, four squads of four soldiers each. And he was under hit. And I'm saying all that because I want to get down. Okay, and as the lesson was saying to those, I know you probably understand that, but he was guarded by four squads of four soldiers each, and what that is, that was 16 soldiers. And I'm saying all that to say that for a reason, because I want to show you the miraculous work of God as we do each and every Saturday and Sunday when we come over here. he was under heavy guard in the prisons. You know, they kept guard over him because the next day he was supposed to be put to death for public trial. But first he was going to be put to public trial after this festival. So they put they kept him in prison, and the church was praying for him. Nothing like a praying church. The church was praying for him. And the night before King Herod was supposed to be bringing him to trial, listen to me close, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. He was under heavy guard. And guards was heavy at the entrance. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone down in the cell. So that angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up. He said, "Quick, get up." And so he got up, Peter, you know, he said, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." That's what the angel told him. So Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing or what he really wanted. You know, he just didn't know. They passed the first and the second guards, those security guards, and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And that gate just opened for them by itself, and they went through it. And when they had walked down one street, suddenly the angel just disappeared. Then Peter finally came to himself and said, "You know, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything that the Jewish people were hoping would happen." And we have to say, and when we think about that, we look at that in a comical way, which it can be looked at in a comical way. But if you ever been through with something in your life, and you know what it's trying to say in modern day terms is, if you ever been through with anything in your life that you know man couldn't have got you out of, you know, in other words, God the one unlocked the chains. God the one that unlocks the chains of immorality. God unlocks the chains of adultery. God unlocks the chains of sickness. God unlocks the chains of homosexuality. God unlocks the chains of anything that you sincerely go to him and ask him to unlock the... Can you hear me?
Say again.
I can hear you.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Just briefly, though, like that.
You might need to get this up. Here.
Okay.
Here.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Yeah. And so God, see, that to me, the point of the lesson is God can do anything. That's a miracle as to what happened. Because you remember James, the brother of John, they had already beheaded him with the sword, and that was going to take him to a public trial, which you know wasn't going to be fair. But they want to pretend like they took him to a trial. And they had already beheaded him, but I guess people would want to say, well, why would God do that for Peter and not do that for James? And so could nobody figure out why and how in the world Peter had got away. And as that you know, the only thing we can say is God allowed King Herod to kill James, but he kept him from harming Peter. So we are not to question who, what, when, where, why, because every individual knows where their relationship is with God and why God does what God does. But God shows he do what he want to do, and it may be a significance in showing that God can do anything that he want to do. You know, even when we think back to the Old Testament, you remember when God was controlling, when he was sending them plagues on Pharaoh, he was controlling, when, you know, He controlled the direction of the locusts. He controlled the direction of every of any plague that he wanted to control to keep from hitting the children of Israel. And so don't be afraid to do what's right, because you do want to be among that few that when God does come here and something catastrophic does happen, you do want to be among that few that God protects. You don't want to be with the majority, because we always see in the Word of God and in the Bible what happens with the majority. You going to say something else?
I was just following you along. It's very, like you say, we are privileged people to be living in this time and age. You know, according to why life truly exists, you know, this is the age when we are supposedly, I guess, what you could say, being able to make the proper transition, you know, being able to just have sense enough to submit our will to the will of God, you know, and that's basically what the prayer that, that's Americanized, I guess, the prayer that we say here in America, which that's where we were born, and the ones that were born here, you know, black, this is not like we're trying to figure out where do our life truly matter, you know, because there's so many things that's affecting us that America needs people who got class. America needs people who never been here before. America needs leaders that really not trying to, but is doing, you know, and that's basically, you know, where we believe that everything is there in this day and time. It's knowing what time we're living in, but might make things seem more accessible than anything else. But the Bible is a good reference. You know, we don't have no reason not to be able to read it. Everything is so plain, but where is it in an educated world where everything is so plain? It's obvious that it's been here for a long time. The Bible has been in the world for so how many years? But American-born people, they should have some type of it's something their birthright. I could have to say that's very important. An American birthright. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back in a few minutes.
It's all right.
I must hold on to God.
listening audience, we are back, and now we are going to proceed to the, we have concluded how Peter was rescued. So now we're going to proceed into Genesis, the 25th chapter. And what Genesis, the 25th chapter, is talking about is Abraham's other wife and sons. As we all know, Abraham took another wife, and her name was Keturah. And this is the same Abraham that was married to Sarah, who was barren, meaning that she could not have any children, but God ordained for them to have a child. And so now Sarah, if you can remember our last review, she has since passed. And so Abraham married Keturah, and she bore him sons, Zimran, Joskan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. And so now these are sons. Abraham took care of them. He gave gifts to his sons, and he did everything that a father would do. But after they got grown, he sent them east away from his son Isaac. Because, you know, remember, Isaac is a spiritual son. That's his special son. And everything that Abraham owned, Abraham didn't leave it, didn't divide it among Ishmael and those six children. He gave everything to Isaac, even though he was good to all of his sons. And remember, in the last lesson on yesterday, we also talked about Abraham getting Isaac a wife, which his head servant did find him a wife. And so that's what Abraham was working on. So Abraham lived to be 175 years old, and he died. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, they buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre, in the field of the son of Ephraim of Zor. You remember the Hittite, remember he purchased that land, that field for his wife. And so Abraham was buried there with his wife Sarah. Sarah is always being recognized as his wife. And so now we are moving into the birth of Jacob and Esau. Now, you remember Abraham's wife, Sarah, had a problem because she was barren. Now, here we got father like son. Remember, now Isaac has married Rebekah, and guess what? She is barren also. Yes, she is barren also. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and the Lord answered their prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. And the children inside of her, they struggled with each other, and she could not figure out why in the world it just feels like, you know, why is this happening to me? And the Lord told her, so there are two nations. You know, every time a child is born, a child represents a nation. He said, there are two nations in your womb. He said, two people will come from you, and they will be separated. One of them going to be stronger than the other. And guess what? The older going to serve the younger one. Yep, the older child, you would think the younger child would serve the older child, but the Lord let her know there are two nations. Nations represent, each child represents a nation. There are two nations in your womb, and they will be separated, even though they are twins. You know, you look for twins to be together through thick and thin, and no, they're going to be separated. One going to be stronger than the other, and guess what? The older one going to serve the younger one. And when she gave birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. The first one came out with reddish hair, like a fur coat, and they named him Esau. And his brother came out grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. And they were Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. Okay, Minister.
Well, that's a lot of significance, but I wonder when you say that when the younger, the oldest will serve the younger. I guess that's it's something it's said about, I guess, in particular that time about that made, well, I guess that's not the ultimate. I guess it could be so many reasons for that to happen. And I guess if God chose his own reason. Well, but Peter, like, people have so many personal experiences, you know, the things that you learn. What does it come from? You know, how do you internalize education, especially with the study of the Bible, study of religion, and what part it plays? But the Bible fundamentally is just, even when it's mystical, it seems like it's just an order of things, you know. And it does justify, you know, that it's worthwhile just studying what people did in previous times concerning, you know, their everyday living. Now we're here coming up to celebrating Halloween last night, right? Right. I see what it is. So I guess Halloween came out okay. I haven't heard anything too terrible today about anything about last night. So I think it came out pretty good here. And in America, we had to start speaking for it, I guess, because things are happening everywhere. So I guess the good part about it, that could be what put, you know, people in numbers on the right page or just keeping up prayer, because we must make this country not great again, but a great country. See, I think once you achieve greatness, true greatness, then you know that would be it. You know, the substance of great. There's a lot of things people should be trying to bury in America, and a lot of things people should be trying to do. So that gives credence to what time.
And indeed, the birth of Jacob and Esau did take place. And Esau, when the boys grew up, remember Esau was an expert hunter and an outdoorsman. But you know, Jacob, was a quiet man who stayed at home. And Rebecca loved Jacob because of, I guess, he was more or less like a mama's boy. It's just my assumption. And Isaac loved Esau because Esau was, I guess, everybody wanted to see their son out doing. I'm not saying that Jacob wasn't a man. I'm just saying, but Esau was out, you know, he was like out hunting, you know. That looked like what a lot of men look forward to with their sons, is to play baseball, to hunt, to go out and shoot deer, go out and do this, go out and play ball, go out to the game together. And so it depicted that Isaac loved Esau, but Rebecca loved Jacob. And Jacob was at home cooking some stew one day. Esau came in from the field, you know, he was exhausted. And he told Jacob, he said, let me eat some of that red stuff. He said, because I'm exhausted. And Jacob told him, so he said, well, first you got to sell me your birthright. And Esau told him, said, look, I'm about to die, so what good is a birthright going to do me? So Jacob told him, just like we were saying earlier, like we was telling you earlier, I think in the lesson on yesterday, your word was really your bond back then. Now, people just lie just to be lying. They don't care about lying. They don't care about looking you in the face. But they just show you the difference of times. You know, you didn't have to put nothing in writing. you can put something in right now and a person go get a defense attorney and just tear it apart and make it seem like whatever they want to make it seem like. And Jacob told me, he said, well, you swear to me first that I can have your birthright. And so he so he swore to Jacob, and he sold his birthright to him. And this is the Bible revelating itself. Remember, God told Rebecca when she couldn't figure out what all that rumbling was going on. He said, remember, God told him, so he said, one going to be stronger than the other, and the one that's going to be stronger is going to be the younger. He said, the older one going to serve the younger one, and see how that is taking place. How, you know, the firstborn is noted as the one that's going to inherit everything, the one that's going to have the sense. You look for the firstborn to set an example for the rest. But in this case, God's word is revelating. So Jacob gave bread and lentil stew to Esau. He ate it, drank it, got up, and went away. So Esau despised his birthright for whatever reason.
Yeah, and that's what we are. That is a big issue today, birthright. You know, what is a, you know, what do you have if you're born in a land? What is it when you're born there? Do you have more rights to that land than a person that was not born there? I know from a political standpoint, I know you have to be, in order to be the president of the United States, you have to be born here. So, and that's basically what I'm saying. What does come with a birthright? Just like when it comes right down to, are we going to still allow Christians to be persecuted in America? The thing with that is, how are you going to defend a Christian overseas? And then we can't even, we have no rights here in America according to law, even though it is in the law. And we know we have rights, but I'm just saying, but this stuff that you have to be persecuted for, you know, I think that's like this country should never be known as that, you know, in that particular light. This is happening here, but you expect to represent the teachings of the Son of God around the world. You know, that's really, if a person would believe that, then quite naturally, a person should just believe in God, because that's what, you know, if you actually think that you can go around this world, now, we have airplanes that go around, make these round trips. It's a long way around the world, and all the people, you know, we're gonna control all of that, and right here, and the United States of America, just because a person believes that America does have a Messiah, you know, it just don't make sense.
Yeah, and you know, I was sitting up here thinking then when I was just reviewing some notes that I had, and I was thinking about, you know, everything goes back to man and woman. That's just like, even as we discuss Esau, the birth of Jacob and Esau, that was done through a man and a woman. You know, you can't. And I hear people now, I hear the president saying that it's okay if a person want to be what you call transgender. He's saying that if you want to be a woman today, that's fine. You want to be a man tomorrow, that's fine. But in order to be a woman, you got to first be able to conceive and birth children. Minister and audience, that's a divinely ordained event that has a significant consequence. That's nothing that a person can go and a man can say, well, I'm going to be a woman today and I'm going to carry a child for 9 or 10 months. No, sir, that can't happen but through a woman. That's how you know if you're a woman or if you're a man. Now, if you don't know you're a man, then you should not know you're not a woman. Because if you can't go through that process, and then you can talk about, well, you know, there are a lot of women that can't conceive. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there, according to God's will and plan in order for the world, because it may be every woman not designed to do that, but only a woman can do that. And I'm not saying that because a woman can't do that, she's not a woman. Don't misinterpret me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the process can only happen through a woman and a man. And we continue to see that over and over and over and over again. That is the only way that that can possibly, by any chance, happen. And so, if you notice, Rebecca and Isaac had been together for 20 years. And look at the significance of how did he meet a wife that was barren also like his father? Remember, Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a child. And look at like father, like son. And look at the same thing happening to his son. But he, just like his father, had a wife that went to God and inquired to God about not having a child, just like she went to God and inquired about, why is all this rumbling going on? She knew how to approach the throne of God. He knew how to approach the throne of God. And that's what's so important. That's what we were saying yesterday in yesterday's lesson, that it's very important that you go through God and seek counsel and ask him to send you someone, because that's the only way that that is going to work out. It's not going to work out. It's not going to work out another way. The only way that that's going to work out is you must seek counsel from God of Almighty to properly deliver you to your person, to your husband. And everything that God says he's going to do, we have a book here that tells us that God is going to do that.
Well, it's like, now that's where true understanding, I guess, come into play. Like, the Bible, it has it's the American culture, I guess you could say, and basically it all depends. You put what you get out of it, what you put into it. And now I'm just, you know, what made America possible? See, we're trying to categorize Jesus Christ as just some other person, but that's what made America possible. You know, that's what got us to this point right here. And that everything suggests that it looked like that everywhere you see. There's no way. You know, and if we haven't learned our lesson about yesterday and the day before yesterday, then we're probably not going anywhere tomorrow. But so far, things are going great to the point where I would advise people, it's just not good to, you know, don't lie about something you have no knowledge about. If you don't know something, just say, well, you don't know it or whatever. But just, but I don't think it's a good time to be, thinking that God does not exist, basically. That wouldn't really make common sense just based on the mechanics of how things got this far. Well, we had a nice Halloween here in Detroit last night. I didn't hear a lot of bad news this morning, so somebody's prayers are being answered. But we have to stay in sync with saying that You know, let's not pray to a God in such a fashion that what you call, how do I say that in word? To, like, make sure on what your prayer is and what you're praying for. You know, we can't say prayers that, you know, we praying for, well, it'll always be daylight, never night. You know, stuff like that. You know, we need to pray that things according to God's will can take place, and that's what we are participating in, God's will, that we might, you know, that our children will stop living such a hard life, no matter how convenient things are for them. You know, people that are older people would do more sensible things with their lives than to just be, you know, that seem like, what planet did they come from because of the years and how they are acting in their old age? All of that comes into play. And if we want to really leave our children something that they can really hold on to, you know, and that would be, you know, the teaching of Jesus Christ that just seem to have proven to be successful just based on how things are going right here, right now. Right here, right now, success speaks for itself. But I think we have had enough downfalls. And we should know that they're coming from the way we act. If we don't believe in God, then I heard someone say last night that they were going to reinstitute the draft. The reason why people from the draft, at least I was drafted, the reason why I even considered going into the military because they say I had to go or go to jail once. But they said you had to be fighting. Say you don't have no right to live the American dream unless you fight the American war against communism. You know, those were how we were drilled. You know, hook 2, 3, 4, Jesus Christ. You know, basically we were known as Christian soldiers, and it was a chaplain everywhere we went. And you know, not me myself personally, I never went into what they call combat, like what they're talking about now, the difference between combat and non-combat. Now, I never went into combat infantry, you know, why it's for us talking about the military during the Vietnam era, but you have to, who they going to say that we are fighting now? If we had to put it in a sentence, you know, who are we fighting? You know, I mean, what are we fighting? You know, are we fighting? What are we fighting? You know, well, a lot of people overseas or here and there are pretty much subconsciously fighting Jesus Christ. You know, basically. But you know, that's just it's normal to think that. It's normal to think that because Jesus Christ is not a. Well, he's supposed to been through him, things just was going to change on earth. So that's pretty much where we are. You know, Buddha is not, it's not Jesus Christ.
I guess with the lesson, the 25th chapter of Genesis, I guess with me just reviewing it, and continuing to review it, it was a good lesson because it continually shows forth faith. It shows forth a lot of things. It shows forth man and woman and what man and woman can do together. Look at the power of man and woman. Here you got Sarah who couldn't bear a child, but her and her husband knew how to approach the throne of God, knew how to have faith, and look what God did for them. Look at what Isaac and Rebecca, man and woman, together through God, approached the throne of God, and look at what they can do together. Look at what man and woman can do together. You know, this is what Satan fears. He fears man and woman. He fear, and there is a power with man and woman. Minister, would you agree with that? That there, if you're with the right person, that there is power in that. I'm not saying being with a person that you want to be with, but being with a person that God sent to you. Because you remember, Isaac received his wife through his father praying to God through the servant. If you actually meet someone and it's through God, isn't that a powerful unit together?
Well, yeah, you know, it's very, you know, powerful, the things that we are seeing, but mainly the power of how.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I was saying was, what I'm trying to say basically right now is the power of man and woman, not man and man. I'm talking about the power of man and woman. There is a power there.
Yeah.
To be with someone that God has chosen for you and for your life. Because trust me, if God did not choose that person for you, you're going to be there, it's a joke, as long as Pat stayed in the Army. That's true, because I've been married before. If you're not with the person that God chose for you, that will not last. That's why it's important that you approach before you start writing Dear Abby, asking her about what to do, and sister this and voodoo that, and approach the throne of God. God wants us to have faith. You know what faith is? Trust. God wants us to trust him. Trust him. Don't go by. You can go on the internet and get 1,000 different answers to that, 1,000 different things. Okay? The internet will tell you this. The internet still is a good source now. I'm not putting it. But when it comes to God, see, some things the internet can't do. The internet can't give you no faith. Only God can give you, you know, only God can give you rest. The internet can't give you rest. Only God can give you rest. Only God can give you rest to the point where you can build your faith and know that only God gonna bring you out of this situation. And believe me and trust me, no matter what situation you're going through right now, you just believe in God. Don't go by what the doctors say. And I'm not trying to put the doctors down. Don't go by what the Lord. Don't go by all this negativity. You put your faith in Dr. Jesus. You put your faith in Dr. God. You put your faith, you take God into that courtroom with you. And you understand, remember back in the day when people, how people put up sacrifices. You know, people say, now, oh, that's the old law. Yeah, but it's the same principle. See, when things happen to you, it's happening for a reason. Don't sit up and play with your mind and try to tell yourself that you don't know what the reason is. You know what the reason is, just like I know what the reason is. You sacrifice something in your life. Put your faith and trust in God, and you will come through that. You will come through that just like you have never came through that before. And not only that, two things will happen. The number one thing, you will know is a God, because you know it's a God that got you out of that. And number two, is you are to another point and you have another chance to do the right thing.
Well, that's the point that we're headed to now, I guess. But there's a lot of people are going on the, you know, they're claiming the faith of Christianity is being their faith. Like, you know, me, I was born a Baptist. Most black people, I think, were born Baptist, basically. I've met a few Methodists. And usually in the black community, if the husband is a Baptist, then the wife is probably a Methodist or something. You know, you find that a lot in that development. Black marriages during the 50s and 60s and 70s. In the 80s, and it seemed like that just begun to be a situation. But now we are into not claiming or making it hard on people who say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and saying that Jesus Christ, but, you know, don't believe in believe that man and woman should, it's a marriage that was designed for man and woman in order to procreate, and that was the reason for it. That's the whole purpose for it. Then for years and years and years, we realized that, well, is it made for any type of sport and play, for fun? Well, you know, it's man and woman do have fun. But now, I believe that back when the beginning of the civil rights movement back in the 60s, I believe that we made a big mistake by not really getting more into the Bible than we're getting into other leaders that came trying to have references or something that, as if they were from Jesus Christ. It's just supposed to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, it ain't supposed to be the Father, the Son, the grandchild, and the great-grandchild. It's supposed to be just a father-son situation. So, and that is something I know is parabolistic. And what does that mean? I think one of the things we have learned and know that it probably means is a name in those days meant a nation. They was written down in reference to nations of people. Just like people say that children of Israel represent us in slavery. You know, that's what it was taught. That's what was taught to blacks, I guess, years ago.
And that when you speak about names, that's so true, because names did mean a lot then. That's just like, remember when Jacob, you know, Jacob means that he deceives. And Jacob did deceive. He is the youngest brother. He did deceive the older brother. Esau means hairy, also known as red. And Jacob means he deceives, and may God protect. And as Minister said, yes, those names really fit the circumstances. It fit what was going on, because did I say that when he was coming out of the womb, he grabs his heel? I don't know if I said it, but. Oh, okay. Well, when, if you remember in the lesson, Jacob grabs the heel of Esau when they was trying to come out of the womb. So he started his birth. That's what he was doing in birth. In birth, he was, and now he didn't grasp his birthright. And so, I mean, and these people live their names to the fullest, and that's why it's important that we know the meaning of these names, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's just a struggle. When you say civil rivalry, or whatever, it went on in my family to the point of from the cradle to the grave. And it goes on in a lot of people's families, you know. It's just something, you know. It just takes. In other words, you can't. It's like I read a book a long time ago. Nothing is standing still. Everything is in motion, and that's the only. That's what. And by being in motion, it's just constant. What you call constantly at war, spiritually. And that's what, and right now, America probably is in the fight of its life now with spirituality. You know, what's, you know, when the dust settles, you know, what's going to be happening?
And you know, Minister, you know how sometimes when you see quiet people, you ever heard that quiet people are sneaky?
Yeah.
See, that was the case with Jacob. See, Jacob was always at home, a mama's boy, homebound, watching. And then Esau was always, you know, out in the woods, killing animals, you know, being a guy. But see, Jacob, I don't know what his orientation was, but he was real sneaky. And he was sneaky enough to understand that Esau didn't care about spiritual things, because how he knew how to say, well, you know, over a bowl of lentil soup, well, you know, I give you the soup, I'll give you this lentil soup if you give me your birthright. So he had to have been sitting at home. I'm just trying to, I be trying to think about these stories. I'm trying to figure out, I know the orientation is men, but it just sounds real, like he's sitting at home, he cooking, he cleaning up, and he mama's boy, you know what I'm saying, and he watching, and he had watched, Jacob had watched Esau enough to know that he could do that to him. See, he had watched him enough to know that he could do something like that to him, because look at what he said when, look at what he told him. He said, let me see. I'm about to die, so what good is a birthright to me? You know, see, he knew, he had watched him enough to know that he didn't care about spiritual things. A birthright, that's a spiritual being. That's a spiritual right. You know, you the firstborn.
Right. Now that's something that's coming up now, like, you know, what would you say our birthright is? You know, just to be born American, it looks like we should have some type of thing that by this time, you know, we've been here for like
what you mean,
months.
Our? You mean blacks? So you, what
I
do
mean
you
black, say? I mean blacks.
Well, what you mean birthright? Well, only thing I can say is it seemed like our people have paved the way for us, and it's like we are throwing it back in. We feeling the same way as, not we, when I say we, I don't mean me, but we are doing the same thing Esau did. Well, you know, what good is God going to do me anyway? God ain't going to do me. That's all black people got. That is their birthright, is God, because a lot of people don't have the which you would say, a lot of people don't have the pleasure of being in the family of God. That is a birthright within itself. And that's what I talk about all the time. You know, that's what black people basically have, and they look at that just like it's nothing. And anybody want to call in, our number is 657-383-0156. 657-383-0156 if you want to call and comment on the lesson. But I would say that when it comes down to the birthright, you know, what more of a birthright than you have but to be in the family of God? What do you think?
Well, now, we can always take advantage of our own birthright, but I mean within the American system, you know, like we should have put, you know, not so much giving free stuff or anything like that, but we should at least be in a situation to receive justice under the law. You know, we shouldn't be in a situation where, because the things that we have fought so hard against, you know, we fought for homosexuals and stuff like that, really. But now, they just because they are in positions like district attorneys, they are charging people for not being homosexual. You know, and that's like, that's a travesty, really. And how is it that you're going to rule something in South Africa and the federal government is allowing this to take place? It just don't make sense. You know, who do you think? I mean,
I'm reading the Bible now like I have never read it before. Now, Jacob did become what you call a notoriety type of figure in the Bible. But if I had to describe, Jacob just seemed like, I don't know about his, the Bible never dictates his orientation to be anything other than a man, but it just sounds like he's just very sneaky to be a guy. You know, just sitting around in a cut, laying around, looking and watching. Instead of him, you know, getting out there trying to work and do what men do too. But he did, in the end, become, Jacob did become Israel, which Israel is a nation now, you know.
Yeah.
Jacob did become Israel. And so that's why I feel kind of funny about saying that, but I don't mind discussing things because, you know, some things are not meant for some people to see. Maybe God wants other people to see, and I'm just putting my two cents in. But according to the Bible, like a birthright was this special privilege that belonged to the firstborn male child and in a family. And the privileges among being a firstborn was double portions of the estate of an inheritance. And if a man had two sons, his estate would be divided into three portions. The older son would receive two. Wait a minute. If a man had two sons, his estate would be divided into three portions. The older son would receive two, and the other son would receive one, two-thirds, one-third. If there were three sons, the estate would be divided into four portions, and the older son would receive two, right? And then the other two would be divided among one and one. So that was the older son normally always received the father's majority of blessing. He always received a double or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how things have gotten so now. To people with names, you used to have a name. Even though I'm aware of the black situation with their names, and we used to call them slave names or whatever. But now, the problem is, a person could get another guy's name that's not even their father, as they name, as if it is their father. I'm not explaining this exactly, but I think what I'm saying is like
what you're saying is like if a woman is married to a man and she has children with the man and they separate or they divorce, the woman go on with her life, the man go on with his life, but the woman never marries anymore. Instead of her going back to her maiden name, she keeps the married name of the man she married, and then she has more children, then she named the children after her married name to this man, when she should be naming the children her maiden name.
Or their father's name.
Or their father's name.
I guess, right.
But society is so slick like that. I see a lot of that going on.
That's twisted. What's the need of having a name if that's the way it could be done?
Because a person don't, I guess a person, see, Mills, a lot of people try to get around and play like they're innocent and stuff, like they're cherry girls and stuff. I guess they want people to be thinking that they know that if this child is named this, that child named that, they're going to make them look a certain way. They know all that now, but why didn't they know that before they did that? You see, a lot of people be doing that because that lets you know they got a little sense. That lets you know they ain't as silly as they think. They are ashamed of what they are doing to me. That's why, because they can't think that's their name, because I've been married before. When I divorced, I went back to my maiden name. Okay?
Right.
I went back to my maiden name.
Well, yeah, but...
And that was in my divorce to go... I had a choice. I want to go back to my maiden name. And that's what I did.
Yeah. Well, that's about the issue, I guess, I was speaking about. But the thing about that is, look what that does to the child.
I understand what you're saying, because if that child is not a part of your name and they go out one day and raise them a family not thinking about it. And then what if their child have more sense to them and ask them, well, where are my people? Where is, like I said, if your child, your last name Smith, and you name your child Smith, and that's not really your last name. And he said, well, I would like to meet the Smith family. How you going to let them meet the Smith family? When you explain to them how everything coming about, then they really going to know you crazy. You know, it's just on and on and on. Well, I guess people don't think about it because children don't even supersede their parents anymore, Minister.
Right, but I want
you understand. Hold on. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Children do not supersede their parents. Their parents are better than them in most cases.
In most cases.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that. But I'm just saying that should be the responsibility of the government. You know, something. You know, the things that
the
they
government
need.
Whole purpose is to be immoral. Have you not found that out yet?
That's what I'm saying. But that don't mean that we're supposed to go along. We're supposed to be struggling to get a government that is moral.
Okay, but I'm just trying to tell you right now, you don't have a government.
Right.
You got a president that's saying that, hey, you got a president that's saying that, hey, if you 13 years old and if you born a man and you got a man anatomy and all that, if you want to be a woman on this Obamacare insurance or whatever he's talking about, all you got to do is be 13 and you can get a sex change, okay? But you got to be 21 to drink.
Yeah,
you see, that don't make sense to me. You got to be 16 to get a license. You got to be 18 to do some things. In other words, minister, in most states, let me tell you something. In most states, you cannot get married unless you, I think in Chicago, if you're 16, you can get married. But in most states, you have to be 18. You have to get your parents' permission for that. But you ain't got to get their permission to change your whole body part. So which one will mess you up worse? Changing your body parts or will mess you up worse? A marriage might really help you, might put you on a certain track. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's going to be like, that would be, it'd be a
this
lot.
Is the government
it'd
that you're speaking
of,
about.
There'll be a lot of lawsuits about that. But and then it'll be
a lot of lawsuits about what, Minister?
About children going and getting their sex changed. Based on the fact that they're 13 and they heard that across the TV. They heard that they could do that.
Well, that's pretty bad. But see, you got to look who's pushing it. Obama said that you can't even offer your child, that's against the law for reparative therapy. If you just want to get a lot of people have done that in the day when they saw little funny things coming up with their sons or whatever, they wanted to go get them some professional help. Obama is getting that outlawed. You know, he's saying that one person committed suicide and it was due to reparative therapy. No, it wasn't due, and I'm not trying to make light of nobody's situation, but see, if a person don't accept the body that God gave them, they going to go into all the, God said, I'm going to give you over to the reprobated mind. You're going to go into a state of confusion. Don't think that I'm fixing, you know, in other words, don't think you finna really get a blessing for going against me. God already said in his word, I am a jealous God.
Well, yeah. Well, see that, I don't think that God be really wanting people. God be saying to a person like this, this is what I believe. Like, now if you want to do what you want to do, don't blame me for it. You know, just you're doing your own thing. I'm just telling you, you should do my will because that way you'll be protected under my will. You'll have a chance of going to the kingdom. But the way that they're doing that, they say they're gonna do it their way. and to take Jesus Christ out of the military, how you gonna draft somebody? Now you're going to show discrimination because no Christian, that's what I mean. Why I can't get my veteran benefits? You know, and I got to, you know, really, and it's hard to talk about that because of the kind of life I live after the military. That's why I can't get no benefits because I'm not a homosexual. When I got drafted, a homosexual couldn't go. They told me the only way I can get out of going to the draft, two ways, you can get a teacher's deferment or you could tell them that you're a homosexual. Then that way they won't draft you. So if they're talking about drafting, and you're going to have to draft somebody because I don't think you'll get people, volunteers or people who are already losers. You know, you volunteer for something, you're already pretty much a loser. So
why would you say that, Minister?
Because you ain't got no life.
Look at how
the veterans are being treated now. If a person has a choice, they would never want to be a veteran.
Yeah, I kind of halfway see your point on that, but I wouldn't just go so far as say someone is a loser because someone has to fight for this country. I think the people that mistreat veterans are losers. They are more of a loser than anything.
Like right now, See, they got me. You know, it's just a long. I know what you're saying. It's easy to talk about.
No. You misinterpreted me. I know exactly what you're speaking about. I know more about what you're speaking about than the audience. I was just trying to say, but if a person mistreats a person that is doing good, minister, that you know, like to me, when a person volunteer to go in the military, they really believe in their heart, soul, and mind that they are fighting for everybody to have rights, you know. I don't think that they are just. I don't want to say a person that go into the mill. I think the people that mistreat veterans, they are the losers. They are real losers. To thank you for your service. Thank you. Stop telling them to thank you for your service and pay them their money. Thank you for your service.
But they have
no right. They don't have no right mistreating someone because they went in the military believing that once they fought, they fight and did what they did, they looking out for other people's rights over themselves. To me, that's not a loser.
Well, the military taught me how to be a man. And now they tell me if I'm a man, I can get prosecuted by a homosexual district attorney just because I'm not a homosexual.
That's wrong.
That's wrong.
That's absolutely. Michael Wayne Jackson is who he talking about. District attorney for the 4th Judicial Circuit.
He's going to be the first black district attorney.
Yeah, now that's wrong. But I wouldn't dare compare Michael Wayne Jackson with these brave people that go over there and try to fight for this country so you can have your rights. You fought for people so they could have their rights. You fought for me so I could have my right to do whatever I want to do in this country, you know, pertaining to being a Christian. That's what you was about. That's what they about. I wouldn't say that they losers. I would say that people, like you say, like Michael Wayne Jackson, he ain't got no fight in him. He ain't finna go to no military. He ain't finna fight nobody. The only thing he gonna do is what he doing until God get tired of him, because what he did was wrong. And he, you know, really what he did is wrong. And yes, he did charge you because he's a homosexual and because you are not a homosexual. That is true.
Right. No,
I agree with you on that.
But
I don't agree with you when you say that these fine men and women going over fighting in these wars, they don't know when they come back here their biggest fight going to be at home. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I thought it was pretty much, you know,
yeah, you didn't know that they was going to really just be mistreating you.
About being a man. I know the man and white people probably fighting about this, that, or the other. But getting charged for not being a homosexual, that's the furthest thing from my mind.
Yeah.
And when I was being drafted, I wasn't being drafted because I was on Kool-Aid, boy, you know. I wasn't no preacher. I wasn't trying to say I was all right and all this, that, and the other, but whether you're right or not,
if you didn't commit a crime, if you didn't do something wrong, Michael Wayne Jackson didn't have no business. He charged me too. Michael charged us the same way to try to send a signal out. Listen closely to what he's trying to say to you. Michael Wayne, but he's not really putting it in the perspective that I want to put it in. See, Michael Wayne Jackson charged me and minister the same way under this, because he was making a point with us about being married because he's a homosexual. You know, he was making that point. And we really understand that that he was making that point, you know. And even the police department participated in that. Black police department. Now, everybody, I listen to the Black Lives Matter group. They're talking about the white police officers killing the black men, and that is wrong. That is so wrong. But it's also wrong to have a black police department gunning you down as a black married couple that's campaigning against the old sorry sissy crackhead mayor. You know, that's wrong. That's what I'm trying to find out about this Black Lives Matter movement. You know, I understand young people trying to do this and they trying to do that. But see, at the same time, you got to understand about the people that's coming before you and even coming after you. You can't be around here listening to these old people that's, what I would say, they just really don't have your best interest at heart. They should really just tell you the truth. You know, they should really, really just tell you the truth about everything.
saying, you know, it should be a law against impersonation. It's just like, if a person gets a 501c3 card, we got two. But see, the problem was, just because we were not homosexuals, we were in a perfect position to do grant type stuff, but they didn't want us to do. And these were people that were in position. And at the same time, we find out that they are homosexuals. And then, what is that a law that's saying that if you're not a homosexual, you can't operate on the 501c3? You got to be a who? And when you meet the criteria, you know, when you meet the criteria in order to have one, you can't get funded. Yeah, we was in Alabama. Hank Sandler, graduate of Harvard. You know, when you say that somebody's graduated from Harvard, you would think of some type of excellence, you know, that they have. Hey, not in the black community. When I started, when we was down there campaigning, he started building something out there to a George C. Wallace. Other than that, it wasn't nothing there. After 30 years as a senator, 30, 20, however many. And then at the same time, they put Michael Jackson in the seat knowing he's a homosexual. I mean, they knowing that that's why they got him there. He's a homosexual. He's going to be dirty to black men who are not homosexuals. Because that's how they call that seduction. That's how they call themselves seducing black men, by saying, okay, if you participate in this, then you can see all that is. We don't need any more of that in America. Period. You know, that's if you look at what these people have been doing for the last 30 years, then you'll see why people just, you know, why it looked like you know, why America looked the way it do. And I mean, the worst parts of it, and the idea of what people are doing now pertaining to Christians built this country, you know, not slaves. Now, a lot of slaves did a lot of stuff, but they are the ones still, for some reason, start talking about Jesus Christ. And so now that we are where we are now, I think that's the only way to... It ain't like it got a lot of options, but thank God at least a person, you know, don't have to just unsubconsciously give their life to people for people who really don't. It really is exhibiting just un-American behavior, you know. It just and not. You know, to the point where it's not even giving black, you know, young blacks a chance. You know, I'd have known that they was this dirty, and the only thing we had in position were homosexuals. Yeah, I would have did a leadership thing long, long ago. I had no idea nobody would be that stupid to do that. You know, to molest your own child in society. I'm not talking about straight up physically. I'm talking about just just creating a world where. Look at America. I'm talking about the black community. I'm talking about the black community. All the way from Skid Row to Hollywood. I'm talking about black. It's a college. You know, you go to college, Morehouse, they got some type of high, you know, it just turned into homosexuals. Why is that? Some lady, old white lady told me one time, said it might be in the food. You know, she said, I don't know. What's wrong with them? But I guess it's the food. I heard it was the food. I don't believe it could be food, but I know whoever is going around talking about black is the new gay. You know, that's the biggest lie I ever could have been told. And nothing new about that. But what's old is that, see people, even when I come all the way back to slavery, yeah, that's kind of like a punk out thing where you just can't do no better. Harriet Tubman had to go on the Underground Railroad. She a woman. There's something wrong with these black men. What's up? You know, and I've been a black man all of my life, and I just still can't figure out to this day, you know, what is wrong. You know, what is wrong with black man, if it was not for God, then, oh, Lord, that would be pitiful. it was not for God, that would be really pitiful. We can get to that point. There we go.
Well, audience, we had a very nice discussion here with you this afternoon. I don't think we're going to be coming back on tonight because we have a pre-planned schedule, but we'll definitely probably see you tomorrow. We enjoy being here with you on the first day of November. We ask that you pray for us. We will pray for you. God bless you. God keep you. And please tune in on tomorrow. Good day.